You will someday. Well, some of you, by the time I'm done this morning, probably wish you'd went last night. All right, Song of Solomon this morning. And chapter number 8 again. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8 and verse number 6. And when you find that place, let's stand together. Now, I'll try not to keep any longer than necessary. I know it's already time for most churches are already let out 5 minutes ago. And they're in the line down at the country cupboard right now getting them pork chops. But I'm looking for some meat, but not necessarily a pork chop. And hope the Lord will do something for us. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8, and let's read one verse, verse number 6. Set me as the seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement heat. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's look to Him in prayer and ask God to help us this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the good singing, the good spirit this morning in the house of God. Thank You for Your people. I pray that You have helped now. That again, Lord, I pray You'll anoint with fresh oil the man of God that I might stand and preach. I pray for power from Thee, for liberty to help. I ask You, Lord, to convert the souls of sinners, to bless the people of God, to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask You to give grace and great liberty to do a work in the house of God to revive Your people. Will You not revive us again that we might rejoice in Thee? I pray You'll have Your divine will and way with every heart. Help me now and others also to yield ourselves fully to God, Lord, to be pliable in Thy hands that we might be used for these moments to bring blessing to people and joy to their hearts and glory to the precious name of the Son of God. And we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. If you'll notice in our text, the first part of verse number 6, the Bible says, set me as a seal upon thine heart. And then in the second part of that same scripture, it says, as a seal upon thine arm. If I know anything at all about the Bible, he's saying there to be set as a seal both upon the heart and upon the arm. And my message this morning, the thought really, the title that I've given the message may be a little deceiving because I started to preach one thing. And as I begin to lay out the message, an altogether different thought came to me. And really, I'm going to preach this morning what I would have preached later. And probably if I preach tonight, I'll preach tonight what I thought that I might preach in the morning hour this morning. And probably preach on Tuesday night what I thought that I'd preach in the evening hour tonight. And so if that's confusing to you, you can imagine how I am. But set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. And I want to preach for a little while this morning and tonight both, if God will help me, on the thought, in defense of the heart. In defense of the heart. I'm glad that I've got one that is defending my heart from all intruders. If I did not have him as a seal upon my heart, I'm confident that I would live in gross, ungodly sin. But because he sits there, he is as a sentinel. And in doing so, he defends my heart from intruders and those that would molest the peace and the rest that I have found there in the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to disagree with my commentators. I've been studying after John Gill and James Durham and the Sol on this song. And I'm going to disagree with both of those men on this verse. I might very well be wrong, but I don't believe I am. For both these men have determined that the words here is spoken, that they're spoken of by the bride of the Lord, that they're spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'd rather believe that thee, or they're spoken of by the bride to Christ, but I'd rather believe that these are the words of the Lord Jesus, given instruction to His church to set Him as a seal upon their heart and upon His arm, their arm, that He might protect them from all intruders, that He is a safeguard there that would protect us from sin that would eventually destroy the people of God. I want to say, my friend, right off, that no man can defend his own heart from sin. If people are not careful today, they'll wind up in Phariseeism with the idea that they have a power and an ability to defend their own lives from sin by doing righteous deeds and righteous things. But I want to say that we cannot do righteously, or we cannot be holy apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our sanctification. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. And everything that you and I ever hope to be, we find in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice he says, he uses the word seal twice in this passage of Scripture, as a seal on the heart and as a seal on the arm. And that word seal literally means to close up or to make an end. And a lot of the old timers, especially the old Puritans, used to use the term as a sinner closing with Christ. You know, I find that real difficult in our churches today. I don't find too many people that are able to close with Christ. That is to set Him as a seal upon their heart and make Him the preeminent one in their life and giving Him all of the honor and the glory that is due His wonderful name. I'll tell you, if there's ever an hour when Baptists ought to close with Him, amen, it's the hour that we're living in today. We have been espoused to Him, my friend, as a chaste virgin, and we ought to be sold out, dedicated, separated to God without one reservation within our heart. We ought to make Him our all in all and set Him on the throne of our heart. It means to make an end. It means to make an end. A seal in those days was not intended to keep somebody in, but it was intended to keep things out. If you've ever read about the death of the Lord Jesus, and when they put Him in that tomb, that bunch of religious Jews went to Pilate and said, you know that He said in His teaching that after 3 days He would rise again from the grave. And so we want you to seal that tomb with the signet of your power and your authority. And that seal was not there necessarily to keep Christ in, but it was there to keep those out, my friend, that would possibly come in and steal His body. And so that governor put his seal of power and authority upon that tomb. I want to say to you, my friend, that our soul has a much greater seal upon us than that seal of Pilate. I have been sealed under the day of redemption by the Spirit of promise, the Holy Ghost of God. I have set Him as a seal both upon my heart and upon my arm, and He sits there as a sentinel, my friend, to defend me from sin that might molest me. Now don't worry, man, leave me now. Don't leave me. A seal was a symbol of power and authority. I'm glad, thank God, He's got power. All power given unto Him in heaven and earth. I'm glad He's got the authority not only to rebuke Satan, my friend, but to rebuke sin and society and prevent them from molesting the peace and the rest that I found from His salvation deliverance. Amen to God. Bible said in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's why I believe that as the Lord Jesus set me, He says, as a seal upon your heart. Receive my Holy Spirit into your life. Set me as a seal that will defend your heart from sin, my friend, that would devastate you and eventually drag your soul off into hell. And it would if it wasn't for Him. Amen. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, He says, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's why I can yet sin against God in this flesh. Are you listening to me? My body has not been made perfect yet. The redemption's been paid for, but I've never been redeemed in my body yet. Oh, thank God one of these days I will, though. And the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. 1 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 said, "Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of His Spirit in our heart." Ephesians 4:30 said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Hallelujah and hallelujah. But I want everybody to get a hold of this and where I'm going this morning. He not only, and I'll preach this tonight, being set as a seal upon the heart, but He also said, "Set me as a seal upon your arm." If you don't miss what I'm getting ready to say now, as a seal upon our heart, He seals us in all time and eternity. Our soul is sealed by the good grace of God. But that seal upon the heart, upon the arm, protects us, friend, in a practical way. We are defended from the world. Come on in the house, children. Not only is our soul protected, but our life that we presently live is likewise protected by the seal of the Holy Ghost which is upon you and I. The seal upon the arm, come on in the house, children, defends us from worldliness. That heart seal is an inner seal, but that arm seal is an outward seal that will defend us from worldly pleasures, from worldly powers that exist, from principalities and powers that exist in this world that we're presently living in. I said that, all that to say this, a saved man will not stray too far in the world. I'm getting sick. The Bible said, "Let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And I'm satisfied they will if they know God. I'm afraid our churches are filled up with people that are lost. Never know. Somebody said, why? Because they're still dabbling in the things of this world. My Bible tells me, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. Somebody said, can they make a fair show in the flesh? Oh yeah, Paul wrote in one of his epistles, he's talking about all those men that were with him, and he talked about a man by the name of Demas. But son, when he wrote 2 Timothy, he said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world." And I'm here to tell you, friend, a saved person will set him as a seal upon their arm that he might defend them from worldly pleasures and worldly sins. Are you listening? Amen to God. If y'all let me, I'll preach to you a little while. You don't, we won't. That seal upon his upon our arm defends us from worldly desires. Where is your desire this morning? Brother Paul said we ought to set our affection on things above. Amen. Our desires ought to be on spiritual matters and spiritual affairs. It ought to be on the world to come rather than the world that we're living in today. I'm afraid this old world's got too much of a pull on most Baptists, buddy. I never thought about this world until this verse of the choir was singing that song a little while ago. Listen what Paul said in Hebrews 11 about that crowd of heroes of our faith. He said, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire, there it is, now they desire a better country. And son, what defends us from worldly desire is that seal of the Holy Ghost of God upon our arm, my friend, that will defend us from the desires of this world. I've never seen a more worldly society. He said, now we desire a better country. That is in heavenly. We desire it. Not this world, but... And he said, if we'd have been mindful of that country. Son, I said a few weeks ago, I said again, God always puts a little water between us and the world. To prevent us from going back. Somebody said, well, I'd like to go back. Well, you're lost and going to hell. That's why you can believe that. Amen. That Holy Ghost guards me and defends me from the desires that I may have toward this world and toward worldly pleasures and toward the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the carnality of one's wicked mind. Now, that's right now. You can say amen or oh me. But this crowd that loves everybody, you just might as well sit tight. This crowd that loves their ball games on Sunday morning, they love God. Amen. Love their racetracks more than they love God. Love their football, baseball, basketball, and all that mess more than they love God. And then claim to know God. Son, I tell you, they don't know God in the free pardon of sin. My God brought me out of the world. He's delivered me from this present evil world. My heart is set on heaven, friend. My eyes and my affection are on the Lord. He's created a desire within my bosom for that heavenly city. And I've not got enough in this world, buddy, that'll hinder me from desiring to go on and be. I wish the trumpet had sound right now. Somebody said, oh, wait a little longer till I get my loved ones in. He knows when all of them are going to get in, friend. Oh, John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready for Him? Do you desire to see Him? See, you're all in all this morning. You're still hanging on to this world and what it's trying to grab. Grab a little bit of gusto is what that commercial you say. You only go around once in life and grab all the gusto you can get. I'm glad, thank God, that back in 1970, I got grabbed by God. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. Desires of this world. He defends me. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. Why, Lord? That I might defend you both from sin from within and without, that might destroy your life and testimony for God. Amen. I'm starting to feel like I'm preaching a little bit. Hallelujah. Them desires. Notice what Brother Peter says in his writing in 2 Peter 13, verses 12 and 13. Peter said, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Let me ask something. Are you looking for it? Amen. Are we too busy? That's why we don't have the power of God and the presence of God. We're too busy looking to everything else in the world rather than looking, my friend, to the coming of the Son of God. For every man that hath this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. Come on in the house, children. I know you're getting restless out there, but if you're halfway spiritual, you'd say amen. Amen. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Brother Peter said, nevertheless, we according to His promise. Let's stop right there for a minute. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Nevertheless, we according to His promise, that seal of promise, enables us, my friend, to look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. My desires are not in this world. My desires are not in this present earth. My desires are toward heaven, where I look for the coming of the Son of God and a new heaven and a new earth that'll dwell righteousness within it. God help us. Amen to God. If you feel comfortable in this world, you got a problem. That's right. I'm going to tell you, it bothers me to hear people curse. Rub shoulder. I had writing a couple of fellas over there trying to get some things set up in my mind about Vietnam. One of them wrote back a letter like that. My son said, you got a letter. I went in there and looked at it down at the bottom. He said, are you a preacher? I told Miss Hall, wait till about Monday when I can type him a letter back. He ever going to find out whether I'm a preacher? Son, he opened the door and gave the occasion. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach to him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better believe I am, buddy. Hey, somebody said, can you do that? Honey, I can preach it, type it, write it, run it, sing it, jump it, leap it, crawl it, walk it. Amen to God, the gospel, because I've been brought out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, headed across the wilderness, and found my way across the Jordan River into the Canaan land of promise. And I'm living in the fullness of the Holy Ghost today, because I've been delivered from the world. You never read about where they were filled with the Holy Ghost living in Egypt. Had to get out of the world. And by the way, get the worldliness out of them. Why, Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit about them. They not only got out of the world, but they got the world out of them. And a whole lot of folks has let the hair grow long, put on a dress, put on pants, throw the television out, and they've got out of the world, but they've still got the world in them. That's why they're mindful to go back. That's why they're mindful to go back. And we're having fun. Hallelujah. I won't say that seal not only defends us from worldly desires, but it defends us from worldly deception. Boy, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are deceived today. Huh? He did say there, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you, you've got the idea, buddy, there's a whole lot of righteousness in this world today. You have been deceived somewhere along the line. And that crowd like Jimmy Swaggart, Oral Roberts, get what God, boy, I've got to give this to you, son. God gave me this the other day, and I like to leap through the wall. You do realize that God said we're going to see Jesus as He is, and we're going to be like Him. It must mean when we get to heaven, we're going to be 900 feet tall, because Oral Roberts seen Him as 900 feet tall. We must go be 900 feet tall, son. You understand where I'm coming from? I'm talking about liars, false prophets, deceivers, working after their own lust, keeping to themselves, teachers having itch and ears, my friend, that they may go on living in the carnality of their flesh and the lust of their sinful mind and their worldly ways. Ain't much righteousness in this world. Benny Hinn and all that crowd. I'm going to tell you, you can write him, and I hope he's listening on the internet. The moron at 9 o'clock this morning talked about how he thought that Billy Graham was just confused and was a good preacher, a good Christian. He is confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Somebody said he's a good five-pointer. I wouldn't give a flip if he'd got 105 points. I'm talking about the man that said it this morning. I'm gonna tell you, if we ain't got enough spirituality in America to determine that righteousness, friend, is deeper than the right kind of clothes and apparel and attire, then we are deceived by the devil. Well, preacher, I know I'm righteous. I quit smoking. La-dee-doody-doo. Well, I threw my television out. Well, holy salama for you, buddy. What are we doing? What are we doing with the heart? He defends not only our outward man, but the inward man. And the inward man will always reflect the outward man. Somebody said, when a preacher, he just messed up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if he sets as a seal upon the heart and defends us from sin, that also means wrong Bible doctrine, friend. Yes, I said it. And that moron to talk about looking at a naked woman, I might as well blow it all up. Son, you can look at a naked woman and not a little sin enter your mind or your heart. You are a pervert. That is right. The Bible says good for a man not to touch a woman. How much more not to look at her? Then run around and brag how I can look at a woman naked and not sin for 3 months. Lie, liar, pants on fire, nose on the telephone wire. I'm talking about deceive, son. Set me as a seal upon your heart that I might defend your desires, that they might set your desires upon me, and that you might not be deceived by the ungodliness that's in the world. Come on, now you better hear me well right here. You do realize, son, that iniquity is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. And if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Now I'm going to tell you what that tells me. That tells me that the elect will not be deceived. But if it were possible, they would be deceived. Now I'm not talking about them that ain't got in. I'm talking about the elect that's in, buddy. Are you listening to me? If it were possible, even the very elect, we're living in a time of deception and delusion in the world, and that crowd that is running after the worldliness and running after deception, they're lost. They're without God. They've never been to Calvary. That's why you better make your calling and election sure, honey. Now, it'll get sweeter tonight. And I didn't plan this, but I'm telling you, somebody is listening here or there or somewhere. Amen. At Nico, I'm telling you what I begin to pin now. If you notice, my introduction ain't going nothing with my message. But I just pinned her down how God put her to me, buddy. Huh? The only righteousness that there is in the world is that which Christ bestows upon sinners. And if you've got a feeling that you can stay righteous in yourself, friend, you can't. Because He lives, we shall live also. The life that He is now living, friend, His life. We depend upon His righteousness. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I've got news for you. You are too, buddy. Saved by the grace of God. Oh, I don't have to get down and wallow in sin. I don't have to go to Hollywood, watch television and all that. Oh, no. But I'm telling you, all of my righteousnesses, all of them, every one of them is like a filthy rag in the eyes of God. I cannot do good enough in the eyes of God to be righteous. And you can see when you see Schofield, wherever he might be, bless his soul, you can tell him I said that. Mr. Schofield says in John, 1 John notes that under the law, Old Testament saints became righteous by doing righteously. And son, there ain't nobody ever done good enough to get good. So there's none good, no, not one. I'm going to say men were saved, they'd know better than that mess. Amen! Somebody said, preacher, you think you're the only one saved? No, but they ain't many of us. Straight is a gate and narrow is the way. Come on in now. That seal upon the arm defends us from worldly desires and worldly deception, but it also defends us from worldly degradation. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the high prize of the calling. You know what degradation is, don't you? It means going backwards. That's kind of country talk, but you'll get it. It means going backwards. Degrading. Degradation means degrading. We don't have, somebody said, the world, I'm sure it's getting worse. That's why God's people's getting worse. You've got chapter and verse for that? He told me that. The Bible tells me that we have been redeemed out of the world, that we might live a godly, sober, righteous life in this present evil world, friend. Well, we having fun, ain't we? Worldly hairdos and hairstyles. You go to some camp meeting, bless God, and they can't get through the doorways because they got their hair poofed out. Son, and this big, they either got it poofed out or cut off. Look like a man. That you don't know, I'm about half ticked this morning. We don't have to be dragged down in the world with sin. We can overcome. We're sinners, but we don't have to live in that sin. What makes Baptists go to Hollywood? Makes them enjoy the world. Some of you just wishing I would just preach the gospel. I wish you'd just talk about Jesus. Been trying to for 3 years and ain't none of you got a hold of it yet. You sit there and look at me like a calf, and it don't matter what I preach, you sit there and look at me like a calf in a new gate. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him. Not in Him. Found of Him. In peace, without spot or blemish. Be found of Him. And that word without spot and without blemish means without blemish in character and conduct. Character, spiritually, morally, or otherwise. That's the way I want them to find me. Walking right and spitting white. Had a lady sit right back over. I went by, there was tobacco juice all over the floor. Some of the ladies said, that woman has spit tobacco juice all over the toilet. I went back and I said, ma'am, I said, you can't come in this church no more with that tobacco. She said, that's not tobacco, but the whole that chewing gum. I said, sure, it's your strange color. Hey, let me ask you, are you saved? Would you like for the trumpet to sound and Jesus to pop through the cloud and you'd be sitting right there peeled between your lips? If you hide it from the preacher, don't you think you'd go, hide it from him? What if you're sitting there with your eyes glued to the boob tube, watching some slut promenade up and down on the stage, and the trumpet sounded? Every spot, if we're looking for it, we do not have to be dragged down into that mess. Some of you's mad. We're found in Him in peace. You know why some of y'all can't have peace? Found in Him in peace. You know why some of you can't have peace? Son, you can't have it out yonder. You can't live in chaos and have peace. Hey, come on in the house, fellas. Son, do you know why? What happened Tuesday night? Do you know why it happened? The spirit of chaos and deception and defilement that's in the world has crept into our churches. the same argumentative spirit and struggling for power and lust has crept in to our church. That's exactly why. Grown men, saved men, carrying on like we did. I went home, cried all night long. I told my wife, I said, that ain't never happening here again. Amen. Amen. Never! I looked up that word. I was going to preach this morning. He protects the heart from idols and imaginations. And I said, no, Lord, deliver me from that. I don't want to preach that. Them men think I'm fussing and mad at them. And God knows my heart, I'm not mad. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. That word imagination means to sit and dream up things and then debate them. It means to debate them, spiritual things, be in spiritual debate. To be in disagreement and debate that disagreement openly. That's why Hollywood, friend, that's why our government is asking Hollywood about things about the war. Their mind is full of imaginations, and they've sat and dreamed up things that's happening that they're putting now. They're putting things on the screen 20 years ago that we're just now literally seeing come to pass about space and men walking in space. You know why? Their imaginations. They said it conjured up those things, buddy, in their mind.
Amen.
I'll never forget old Harold Tyler. He said, God's word is not to be debated. It's to be preached.
Amen.
We don't debate it. We preach it.
Amen.
We believe it. We walk it. We love it. We live it. But we don't debate it. That's why I took that book on Peter Ruckman. I fell, just throwed it in the trash. I'm not debating with nobody about Peter Ruckman. I've got a Jesus to talk about, a gospel to preach, a word to sow, souls to reach. I've got to testify and pray and witness it for the glory of God. Said to be without spot. I want to show you something here. That word spot is the same word that is used in Peter when he said the Lord is a lamb without spot and without blemish.
Amen.
Same word, friend. His moral character was not spotted one bit.
Amen.
God said, I don't want your... If you're looking for me, I'll set as a sentinel. I'll defend you from that worldly degradation. You don't have to decay morally.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Said we were found in Him without blemish. That word blemish means to tarnish. It's a reputation or a character. It means a mark of deformity. It means to reproach or disgrace. Now I'm trying to hurry because some of you wishing I'd have quit a long time ago. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, to defend me from the world. Outward sin. Defend me from it. Keep me from it. Preserve me from it. Help me. Strengthen me. Stabilize me. And He'll not only defend us from worldly desires and worldly deception and worldly degradation. Now come on, this is going to get about 99% of you. And I love you. I'm in my 15th year of preaching to some of you folks. But it will defend us from worldly depression. And I love folk, but I look here, I preach negative on sin because it's negative. But when it comes to spiritual matters, somebody said, a fellow preacher last night said, there ain't going to be no latter rain, there ain't going to be no revival. I don't believe it!
Amen.
Son, the world is depressing enough without preachers telling me that we can't have God anymore.
Amen.
When God said, I'll never forsake thee and I'll never fail thee, that is exactly what He meant! Don't tell me I can't have victory. That's all revival is victory. Tell me I can't live in victory, friend. And I've preached it and I'm trying my best to live it. Nobody can keep me from it except me.
Amen.
I told Jeremiah, I said, don't look at their faces. Now, don't worry about their faces. Just give them my word. That's right. That's right. Miss Hall told me earlier, she said, you better be careful. Talking to them men about Vietnam, said, you're going to uncover something that's going to hurt you. Well, I have uncovered a few things. I'm going to tell you what it's done. Brother Johnny has touched my heart. This made me want to tell some of them fellas about Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you some of the things that I've uncovered about the war that are not pleasant to the memory and to the thoughts of man's mind. I'm going to tell you what it has done. It's tendered my heart just a little bit. I sat over there on Christmas Day. Look here, I got the best Christmas present I ever got in all my life. It wasn't nothing but a little old book about that big with pictures of a little old boy and a little old girl giving each other roses. But my wife sat and wrote in that thing, and son, she said, you're the kind of a man that I can talk to without fear. I can be myself around you. And son, I'm telling you, I've been talking to them old boys about some of them LZs in Vietnam and read that book. I'm telling you, Christmas Day, son, I wept all day long. My heart was real tender. Are you listening to me? May God help us this morning. We can be overcome. I'm going to tell you, it has helped me, son. And I'm telling you, though, I'm going to do my best to keep on preaching, whether you like it, whether you love it, hump it, dump it, bump it, and keep on telling folks the right way to live and the wrong way to live. Keep on telling you about God. I'm telling you, you can have it. You don't know how much I desire to see some of you. Depressed. Some of you look sad, so sad you'd think the Holocaust was back on us. Some of you look like you're on the Trail of Tears, on the death march to Oklahoma. Some of you look like you're on the Bataan death march. Come on, children. God still loves us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Show the world around us is in critical shape and chaos tonight, but I'm glad, thanks be unto God, He always causes us to triumph in Christ, for we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And He didn't put no nary stipulation on Romans 8. That's right, ain't it? Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, how does He defend you from worldly depression? I'm glad you asked. By His daily news report. Hey! Yes! I picked up the newspaper the other day and read through it a little bit and threw it down. Miss Hall picked it up and she said, is this the paper? I said, she said, is that all of it? I said, that's all of it. She said, man, you got to. I read about 3 articles. I said, all it does is depress. But I'm glad that I receive a news report daily. Somebody said, what kind of a news report? Old Brother Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, said, it's cold waters to a thirsty soul. So it's good news from a far country. Hallelujah to God. And I heard from a far country this morning, son. And it sent waters to a dry and a thirsty soul in a land where no water is. And I'm yet longing to see His power and His glory in the sanctuary. Some of y'all ain't read your newspaper this morning. News from a far country. That heavenly country. Got a telegraph this morning. It wasn't from my friendly FTD florist. But when I heard the knock on the door, I did find the Rose of Sharon waiting on me. Amen! And when I realized that it was only spiritual thing, then in person He really wasn't there, in reality, my soul sank deep within me, but I looked and lo and behold, that same florist was carrying a lily that I found in the valley! Hallelujah to God! I'm telling you. Amen. When I heard word the other day that we couldn't drink any water because it was contaminated. The water in Madisonville had been shut off. And fellas, some of them went up and ate at Cracker Barrel, and they fed them plastic. I give them plastic spoons and paper plates and plastic cups because the water was contaminated. I'm glad, thank God, that I've got a seal upon my arm that defends me from the depression. But when the water of this world is sour, I'm glad, thank God, there is a water of the Word of Life that I can drink. Hallelujah. And it ain't depressing. I found that the central figure of that Bible is Jesus Christ. The primary subject is the gospel. And the truth it conveys is the deliverance of the souls of sinful men. And when I read that I've been saved, seal defends me from worldly depression. By his daily news report, and by the promise of his deliverance. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our will of God and our Father. I said, well, how does that keep you from being depressed? This world is not my home. Well, I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. But don't that cheer you up to know you don't have to live here? Among all these thugs and thieves and criminals and crooks and child molesters and bank robbers, that's right. I was talking to an old boy on the phone there that sent me that picture. And I said, what do you do for a living, man? He said, I'm a car salesman. He said, I'm going to have to quit that and get an honest job.
Amen.
I wrote him a letter back and I said, hey, remember to give them fellas some good honest deals. Man, God's watching you.
Amen.
I sent a fellow, one of them old Jim Breen was a lieutenant. I sent him one letter the other day. And I said in there, I said, Psalm 84:11. He wrote me a little thing back. He said, man, I went to the Baptist University out in Oklahoma City when I was a young man. He said, I was a pretty good Christian. He said, I carried them girls' bags and luggage up to the room for him. He said, I tried to be a good Christian. And then I seen a picture of him. Sergeant brought over. They showed him standing holding a little bottle of liquor in his hand. So I wrote him another little letter back. And I said, hey, by the way, remember Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, hey, just knowing I've been delivered keeps me from depression. He defends me from depression by His purpose for my life. It's going to hair lip some of you. In whom also, he said in Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You realize that God's got a purpose for you in life? Son, if you'll ever find that purpose. I remember I was talking to a fellow named Bobby Mason years ago in Tucson. And I said, Brother Bobby, I said, I'm not happy out here. He said, you know why? He said, you ain't found your niche. I said, what do you mean, a niche? He said, you ain't found that little thing that puts all the puzzle together. What he was saying is, you ain't found and you have not fulfilled God's purpose for your life and leaving you here. And I thought, man, if Christians, when they get saved, would diligently seek the will of God for their life, whatever it might be and wherever it might be, and find God's little niche for their life. Well, can I say this? On December 21st, I believe. No, that's not Sunday. Wednesday. On December the 22nd, 1987, I found my niche. As a famous preacher would say, I've been in the perfect will of God ever since. I don't know why that He linked me up with a bunch of knuckleheads like you. And I don't know why He linked a bunch of good people like you up with a moron like me. But God put us together for some reason. I think I know what that reason is. My wife and I were sitting at the house, been 3 or 4 years ago now, and we're sitting there one night talking. She said, honey, she said, you realize how wise God was when He put us together in marriage? She said, He knew you'd be exactly what I needed, and I'd be exactly what you needed.
Amen. Amen.
My purpose.
Amen.
And somehow God knew that I was exactly what you needed, and this place was exactly what I needed. To bring the Christian out of me. To bring the Christian out in you. Amen to God. And I'm determined to bring her out of you if you'll be determined to bring it out of me. I'm going to say, four fifthly, He defends me from worldly destruction.
Amen.
Matthew said, Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate.
Amen.
For wide is a gate and broad is a way that leadeth to destruction.
Amen.
And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is a gate and narrow is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want you to get a hold of this. I was sitting there the other day looking at that. And He didn't say anything at all about finding that straight gate and that narrow way and then ever turning back from it and getting over into that broad way. Enter in at the straight gate.
Amen.
For, because, broad is the way.
Amen.
Broad is the gate. It leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And I'm glad He defends. Oh, son, I'm telling you, hey, I just read you, this world is going to melt with a fervent heat someday, huh?
Amen.
Be destroyed.
Amen.
I'm glad He defends us from that worldly destruction, worldly devices.
Amen.
Now I close with this. He defends me from worldly death.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you mean? For death hath passed upon all men.
Amen.
Or all of sin.
Yeah,
thanks be unto God.
Yeah. Amen.
Mr. Hall, my name is Death. And sir, I've come for you to carry you into the realm of the dead and dying and doomed. And they're there, girl. Go to the cemetery and look.
Amen.
Go to the cemetery. Check it out.
Amen.
You're going to die, huh? I mean, it may be a joke. It may seem like a joke now. But it ain't a joke.
Amen.
Fella sat on the phone the other night and told me, he said, I was trying to patch up a black man had been shot in the belly in Vietnam. He said, I told him, don't move. And he rolled over on his side and a sniper shot him the second time and killed him laying up there on the LV. Doc McKinney said, that man went out to meet God saying, Mama, that man, Mama, please, Mama, help me, Mama. Help me, Mama. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There can't nobody help you. Your mama, your daddy can't help you from death, friend.
Amen.
There's only one help for the soul of man from death. And we're going to die. I looked at my wife the other night. And she was sick and laying there in the bed and went to sleep. And I said, God, I can't. But in Adam all day. But in Christ, all are made alive.
Amen.
Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal
Amen.
Upon thine arm.
Amen.
And I'll defend you from intruders, from molesters, as sin and Satan and society that would drag you ultimately off into hell for all eternity. Let's stand together, please. I've done my best to pray.